Scripture morning, this reading will be coming from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Romans 5, 1 through 5. I will be reading from the New King James Version. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
What a blessing it is for us to be here on this morning as we are going to study a little bit about what the church deserves. Now, y'all probably seeing me and I'm here on the floor and y'all probably not used to that, but that's okay. I want us to turn to Romans chapter 5, and I want us to be considering some things because we've been talking about what the church deserves all month. And today we want to talk about the church deserving hope. And when we think about this, it ought to give us great encouragement to understand and to know what God has in store for us. We know for a fact that the Lord's church is supposed to be a confident people. We have a confident expectation called hope. And this hope that we have, brethren, is a hope of eternal life. The ability in one day to see the very face of God, according to Revelation 22, verses 3 through verse number 5. We think about that, and we ought to be very thankful that one day that we'll be able to be in the very presence of Almighty God, but also that we don't have to worry about death. We don't have to worry about the curse. We know for a fact that God is going to take care of all sin, all evil. In Revelation 21, in verse number 4, the Bible teaches us that there will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. And the reason why is because the former things have passed away. We think about that, and that ought to give us great encouragement as well, because God has always given his people hope, always given them an expectation, something to look forward to. And when we think about this new body that we're going to receive, we know that the Bible teaches us that we're going to receive a new body. In the book, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through verse number 58, that we're going to receive a new body. As a matter of fact, he says, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, our bodies are going to be changed. And so we got something to look forward to there. As a matter of fact, you think about that, and the Bible teaches us that our mortal is going to be immortal. Our corruption is going to be turned into incorruptible. And so death will have no sting whatsoever. We don't even have to worry about death. And the reason why is because God is going to take care of that. God is going to take care of that one day, that we no longer have to worry about that. Brethren, I don't know about you, but that is an expectation that I have, and I hope that you have as well. But before we go to Romans chapter 5 and we start talking about that, right now we're just kind of getting your mind together as what we're going to be talking about. But let me say this, in 1 John 3, the first three verses, just write this down. We know that God himself is going to bless us. But how? Number one, he blessed us to be able to call us children of God. Number two, we understand that we're going to be just like our Lord. You remember when he ascended back to the Father on that cloud in Acts 1, verses number 8 and 9? And when he ascended back, we know a change took place because of 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 50, flesh and blood can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. So we know something took place. Something is different. And so John says that we're going to be as he is, and everyone that has this hope within him purifies himself even as he himself is pure. So we're going to have a different body. We have something to look forward to. But in that John text, he says, everyone that has this hope in him, that which we expect, a longing, an expectation. And the question is, what are we expecting? Are you expecting a new body? I am. As a matter of fact, God says that I want you to embrace that. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 18, we know that Paul is telling the brethren at Rome, I want you to embrace this. I want you to be thinking about this. Why? Because life is tough. Life is hard sometimes. And one thing that the church deserves is to have a hope. is to have something to look forward to. In Romans 8 and verse number 18, here Paul would say, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that should be," notice this, "revealed in us." And so Paul says, you're going through a difficult time, I know that, but you got something that you can look forward to. One thing as children of God, and one thing that the church deserves, is to have something to look forward to. God has always had his people to look forward to something. And so you drop down to verse number 22 of Romans chapter 8, and notice what he says there. "For we know that the whole creation groans and labor with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, we groan within ourselves." We're longing for something, if you will. Now, notice what he says, "within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption." Notice what the adoption is according to this text. It's the redemption of our body. Sounds like something to look forward to. Sounds like the resurrection. Sounds like the new body. Look at verse number 24. He says, "For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for that which we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." So that tells me something, that if I have something in my hand and I've been longing for it all this time, it's not hope anymore. I got it. But we're longing for that new body. We're longing for that time where we're in the face of God. We're in his presence. We're longing for that time where death will be no more. No more sorrow, no more pain. The former things are passing away. We're longing for that time. I'm looking forward to that day. And the older I get, it seems like stuff hurt more and more. But why? Because man born of woman is few days and full of trouble, Job 14:1. Why? Because our body is going to the dirt. It's going to the dust. We can't do anything about it. Why? Because we have all of the sin around us and people are doing all manners of evil around us. But the church has something to look forward to. The church deserves something. What is that? It deserves hope. Look at Romans 5. In Romans 5, when you consider what Paul here is saying, it's so beautiful. And the more I thought about this, I was thinking about this yesterday and thinking about it again today. And I'm sorry that you don't have a QR code. It's been that type of week. I'm sorry you don't have notes. It's been that type of week. But I said, you know what? Since we don't have a QR code, we don't have notes, I'll go ahead and stand on the floor and preach. And so I told Sister Tony it's Fort Sam style in the morning. I hope this is not my last lesson. However, nevertheless, in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1, Paul says something very interesting. And point number 1, I want us to talk about God gave the church hope through justification. What do we mean by justification? Literally, to be declared right. God is the one that declares us right. God is the one that gives mankind commands in order for him to do that. And God says, when you do that, I'll impute righteousness. I'll account you to be right. Only God can account you to be right. You can't account yourself. You can't make yourself righteous. You have to abide in the commandments of God, which will make you then righteous. So in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith," the faith, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And it's interesting that he would say that here. But why would he say that? Look at verses 23 through the end of the chapter of chapter 4. In verse number 23, he says, "Now it was written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him." Now notice this, who believe in God, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses. Jesus was delivered because of our sin. Isaiah 53 should be ringing loud in your mind right now. But he was raised for our justification. If Jesus would have stayed in the grave, brethren, nobody could be justified. Nobody could be declared right. No one could come to God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." It's no way for us to be justified, declared right, unless Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. So what does this have to do with the church deserving hope? Everything. Now, go up to verse number 13. Because when you think about verse number 13 down to verse number 23, Paul, he's talking about Abraham, and he brings up Abraham, and we will later on go up to verse number 1, but in verse number 13, I find it also interesting that God made a promise to Abraham and gave him something to hope in. But what did he give Abraham to hope in? He gave him a promise. Well, what promise did he give? The promise that he was going to have a seed, have a son. Now, keep in mind, he was old, 75 years old when God came to him. Number two, his son, his wife, Sarah, was barren. She couldn't even have children. He's old, she's barren, no chance for children. God says, in your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Here, we understand that God gave Abraham a seed promise, a land promise, and a nation promise. And God was going to make good. And one thing, Brother Tobias, when God makes a promise, it's good. You can cash that check. You can take it to the bank. The money's in there. You know, some people write checks, you get to the bank, it's insufficient funds. You ain't got to worry about that with God. That money's in the bank. So here, God made a promise to Abraham, and on many occasions, God would tell Abraham to do certain things. He would tell Abraham to go out and look at the stars, and when you look at them, your descendants will be more than the stars. Abraham believed in his heart. God says, I count that for righteousness. God tells Abraham to circumcise those in his household. He did that. God counted that for righteousness. It's interesting that when God gives a command and a person does it, God says that person is right with me. Amen? Now, I want us to consider this. So in Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through the end of the chapter, we have Abraham, and he's being brought up as an object lesson of a person that actually did what God said. And when he did, God says, that person is right. But what did God do? God gave him hope. Now, you drop down to verse number 17 of chapter 4. We take notice of something that's very encouraging for us. He says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who, notice this, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. God told Abraham that you're going to be the father of many nations. I don't have any children. Is it going to come through Eleazar, my servant? Well, Sarah, you know, what we ought to do, or Sarah telling Abraham, maybe it's going to come through Hagar, your handmaiden. Go in unto her. That wasn't God's plan. See, one thing that God is not involved in is plan B. I'll leave that alone. God is not in the plan B program. I digress. Not even part of my lesson. Anyway, we understand that God told Abraham, you're going to have a son, and Sarah's going to be the one that's going to have that son, which means that other plans weren't God's plan. God says, I made a plan. I want you to fulfill my plan. Abraham said, I have hope in that plan. I know it's going to come to fruition. And that's exactly what he did. Look what he goes on to say in verse number 18, the latter part. He says, so shall your descendants be, and not being weak in faith. Listen to this, brethren. He did not consider his own body already dead, since he was 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. You know what that means, brethren? That here, Sarah and Abraham did what married people did, and God and Abraham and his wife knew that God is going to come through in his own time. And that's exactly what happened. That's a good lesson for us. You know, it's married people ought to do married people things, not unmarried people. Amen? Y'all get the point. The world that we live in today, unmarried people do married people things, and we ought to be teaching our children, you don't do that. It's a great point right here. Here, Abraham had hope. Sarah had hope. We understand that Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. And because of that, Abraham and Sarah, they actually had a child. Look at verse number 20. And notice this, brethren. Abraham did not waver in his faith. He did not waver in his faith. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. When one has hope, that's exactly what they do. They give glory to God. When one has hope, they are strengthening their faith, and we ought to be strengthening our faith every single day. The church deserves hope. The church deserves people who are going to trust in the promises of God and do all that they can to make sure that they live out the promises of God in their life, which means that we ought to be obedient to the will of God, to the commands of God. But notice what he goes on to say. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. He didn't waver at the promises of God. And because he didn't waver at the promises of God, neither should we. What has God promised us? God has promised us, Brother Royce, eternal life. He has promised us that we're going to be with God throughout eternity. He has promised us that we're going to receive a new body. Brother Mike, you've said that before. Sometimes you got to keep saying the same things. Because for some reason, sometimes we don't live our lives. Mike Bonner doesn't live his life as if God has made a promise. Yet, he made a promise that those who are not faithful will end up in his wrath. But Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, look at point number two. Go to verse number two of chapter five. Because we are justified by faith, because we have peace with God, and Jesus Christ is that peace. Jesus is the one that broke down the middle wall of partition that was between Jew and Gentile, being peace between the Jews and the Gentiles. Because of what Jesus did on the cross and his resurrection, because he's at the right hand of the throne of God right now, we have peace with God. Which means that when one doesn't obey the gospel, they are not at peace with God, which means that they are under the wrath of God right now, John 3, verse 36. The last thing we want to be is under the wrath of God, Romans 5, verse 9. We want to make sure that we are in the peace of God. So look at verse number 2. He says, through whom, who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Also, we have access, notice, by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So a few things I want us to talk about real quick, just real quick. Number one, I want us to talk about access. So God has given us hope through access. That word access is so important. Well, for those of us who are a little bit older, we used to go to the movies. And you just couldn't walk into the movie theater without paying. You had to get your admission. You had to pay for a ticket. And that ticket would give you admission to that particular movie. As a matter of fact, they would have people situated by the movie door entrance. And so when you walked in, you had to show your ticket again. You just couldn't walk out without your ticket. Why? Because they had to prove that you paid for admission. That's that word right there. We have hope because of admission, which tells me that if a person is not in Christ, having been justified by God, by the peace of God, who is Jesus Christ, then they don't have the admission yet. We need to teach them to get that admission, that they can get in. Well, that's not what the world teaches. That's not what some denominations teach. They teach, well, you can just ask Jesus in your heart. You can just say this prayer. You can just come and you're a member of the church. Well, that's not the way God did it. Admission requires us to do things the way that God said it. So notice in verse number two, Jesus, through whom also we have access, how? By the faith into this grace. Now, he's not talking about God's system. Titus 2, verse 11 and 12 and 13. He's not talking about that. Brother Tobias, he's talking about into this manner of lifestyle. Now, why is this important as it relates to the church deserves hope? Because the church should be exuding a certain lifestyle. That when you come to Christ, there is an expectation, Maya, that you must live up to. And when you don't live up to that expectation, somebody has to say something. Brother Chad, I'm so glad you said that we have members here that don't mind checking the elders. We love men like you, Brother Chad. We don't mind being checked. You know why? We just want to be right. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. The only thing wrong with being wrong is staying wrong. All of us should have a desire to be right with God. And when we're right with God, then we'll be right with one another. We have access by faith into this grace, into this manner of life in which we stand. And notice, we are standing in this manner of life. It is our foundation. It is our stability. It is our security. Now, what is our security? What is our foundation? What is our stability? It's not money. It's not prestige. It's not power. It's not fame. It's a manner of lifestyle, which means that even a poor person that has absolutely nothing can be godly. Amen. For some reason, we look at people who have resources and say, man, that's a good person there. How do you know? Well, Jesus tells us you can know people who are good. You know them by their fruit. And so when I considered that and I thought about, what does the church deserve? The church deserves people who understand the lifestyle that they're supposed to live. And that access into that lifestyle is going to give them the stability, the security, and the assurance of knowing that they're going to be with God one day. But look at the text. The more I was thinking about this and considering, what is Paul saying and why is he using Abraham, and why do you say this is for us today? The church deserves hope. It deserves people who understand that they can rejoice in the hope of what? The glory of God. Well, what is the glory of God? Remember we was talking about the resurrection? Remember we was talking about that new body and the things that the people of God were going through in the book of Rome, book of Romans? They were going through a difficult time. And with this being in mind, we have to understand that God desires for us to be a stable people, a spiritual people, and an upright people who rejoice in the glory of God. But what will it take? Now I'm about to steal from Tobias. I'm sorry. It's not yours. I can do that. Brother Tobias had a masterful lesson last week. And he brought out three things that I want to capitalize on that's going to require us to really look at ourselves, to understand who we are. If we're truly going to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, it's going to require for us to be a humble people. That's what he said. And he went to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through verse number 11 to give us those points. Number one. Got to be a humble people if we're going to rejoice in the glory of God. We're going to rejoice in one day having that new body, being able to see the face of God one day, understanding that there'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain. Brother, we got to be humble now. Number two, we got to be transparent. Transparent with who? With God, number one. How do I know I'm transparent with God? Father, I've sinned. I'm sorry. Father, I trust you in everything. Father, I'm going to your word. I believe your word. The Church of Christ need more people who are transparent, more people who understand humility. And when we see hope in our midst, we can't hope but to be with those people throughout eternity. Those are the type of people we ought to desire to be and to be around. But number three, he said vulnerability, being vulnerable, putting yourself out there. Well, here, Abraham put himself out there. He really did. He was an old man. Sarah put herself out there with her handmaiden. And we saw how that came out. She put her out. Being vulnerable with her put her in a position where she had to put her out. But here we see Abraham, and he was vulnerable. Here he was old, yet he still went in unto his wife. They conceived. And guess what? God came through. Well, it's the same for us. Brethren, we have to be vulnerable with God. How are we vulnerable with God? When we do what he says and we tell people around us, yeah, I'm a member of the Lord's church, the Church of Christ, and we have our head up when we say that. And when we're sitting around our friends who may not be members of the Lord's church, perhaps even heathens, I don't know. Well, that's not the time for you to grab a headache before you eat. You know them headache prayers? You ever had a headache prayer? You know, I mean, you're ashamed to pray in public. So what you do is like, man, what's wrong? Man, just head hurting a little bit. But you just utter a quick little prayer. No, don't have headache prayers. Be vulnerable. And so when we stop and we consider this and we know for a fact, he says, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Friends, it's going to require us being humble. It's going to require us being transparent. And it's going to require us being vulnerable. But the church deserves that. We deserve that. Let's go even further. Our friends who are not members of the Lord's church deserve that. They deserve to see that in us. Because this is a manner of life that we're in and that we're part of. But point number three, God gives us hope through reasons to glory. God gives us hope through reasons to glory. Put your seatbelts on. Because as I was looking at this, it got a little turbulent. And the reason why I say that is because not too many people train themselves to glory in the things that Paul said, I'm about to glory in. You got to be trained in this. You got to tell yourself, it's all right for me to glory in tribulation, in trouble, when things don't go my way, spiritually speaking. You got to train yourself. Notice the text. And not only that, but we also glory, that's the same Greek word as rejoice, as in boasting, in tribulation, literally in troubles. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Tobias, get Psalm 119, 71. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 8, notice what Paul, our brother, says here as we come to some type of closure. Starting at verse number 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God, not of us. We are hard pressed. Notice the trouble on every side. And brethren, sometimes that's life. Sometimes we're troubled on every single side. Can't seem to catch a break. If it's not this, it's that. If it's not that, it's this. That's the way life is. If it's not financial, it's something dealing with my health. If it's not health, something dealing with my kids. If not kids, something dealing with brethren. If not the brethren, something dealing with my vehicle. If not the vehicle, something dealing with... Y'all get the point? It's all over the place. Paul said, we hard-pressed on every side. Can't seem to catch a break. Hold on. What does the church deserve? Hope. When people are going through those difficult times, the church deserves to see people who are going through it, even though it may be tough, but they're still going through it and they're still making it. That's right. Consider it joy. Notice what he says. Yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Notice what Paul says there. He says, we're going through these things, but we will not be knocked out. We're going to hang in there. In Psalm 119, verse 71, what does that say? Now, notice what the psalmist said. It's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. It's good to go through tribulation. No wonder Paul, by inspiration, says that we glory in tribulation. We glory in trouble. And so, notice Romans 5, and notice what he says. Romans 5, very powerful. Because tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, the definition is this. It is one who is not swerved from their deliberate purpose and loyalty to God. Question. If you lose your hope, do you think you'll be swerved from your deliberate purpose and loyalty to God? The answer is yes. What's your hope in? You know, we sing that song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus Christ and His Righteousness. Brent, what is your hope in? The church deserves brethren who remain diligent, who are unswerved by whatever may come to try to take away their trust in Jehovah God. And brethren, when we consider this, notice the very next one. Perseverance, character. One translation says experience. The idea literally means to be trusted. Your trustiness. Hold on. The church deserves hope. The church deserves individuals who understand that tribulation is going to come, but that's going to produce perseverance. The idea of holding up under the pressure. And that's not easy all the time. There's this medical term among psychologists and those who are counselors. They said, in times of stress, you digress. That's a lot of truth to that. I remember playing dominoes with my dad growing up. I remember I used to take a long time. And he used to say, son, pressure bust a pipe. You know, that's true. That is so true. Have a clog in a pipe. Something's got to give. Well, this is why we need to lay all of our troubles at the feet of our Father. We need to cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. Brethren, we need to remain hopeful and trusty, even in the midst of whatever. Doesn't matter what comes the way of the church, we need to be found trustworthy before God. The church deserves that. I truly believe that the church deserves the best leadership. Sometimes it doesn't get it. The church deserves the best preaching. Sometimes it doesn't get it. It deserves the best deacon. Sometimes it doesn't get it. But sometimes the church does get that, depending on the location. It gets the best eldership, the best preaching, the best service from deacons, the best members. And what I mean by that, people who are striving to do that which is right. Amen? The church deserves that. The body of Christ deserves that. Jesus deserves that. Being the Lord, being the head, being the Savior of the body. He deserves that. And so when you look at this text, notice, and perseverance, character, or experience, or trustiness, hope. There it is right there. Brother Mike, why did you choose this text? Because of all of the hope that is provided in chapters 4 and 5. The expectation, the longing. Question, go in your mind right now, what are you longing for? What are you hoping for? What are you hoping for spiritually speaking? What are you hoping for? Let me give you something that I'm hoping for. I'm just hoping to see God's face one day. Really, that would be enough. Everything else is just icing on the cake. Do you know there will be the majority of God's creation that will never see God? They will see the Lord because they're going to stand before him, give an answer. But they won't have the privilege of being in the presence of God because that requires the new body. That requires you being faithful. But the hope, that's what we need. Look at the end of the text and we're done. Because I couldn't leave this out. Now, hope does not what? Disappoint. It doesn't make one ashamed. One thing, when God gives a promise, and he gave a promise to Abraham and blessed Abraham, and Abraham wasn't disappointed. He got a son out the deal. His seed went on. He was able to look at his son and bless his son. Hope doesn't disappoint. And since that's the case, God gave us promises, we need to know for a fact that he'll keep those promises. Look what he says. Now, hope does not disappoint. Why? Here it is. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Let me give you 4 or 5 passages. Write these down. We'll look at 2 or 3 of them just for your sake. Put these down. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 5. 1 John 3, verses 16 and 17. 1 John 4, verse number 9. You see a pattern? 1 John 5 and verse number 3. Jude 21. John 15, 7 through 11. Romans 8, verse 39. You see a pattern in John? The love of God. Well, what is the love of God? Look at 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. In 1 John 3, verse 16 and 17, let's see what the love of God is. It's so beautiful to look at the text, to understand what God desires out of us. But people always talk about the love of God. Well, let's find out what the love of God is. By this, we know love because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? How do I know I have the love of God in my heart? I take care of my brethren when they are in need. Look at chapter 4 and verse number 9. In chapter 4 and verse number 9, let's start at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was revealed, manifest toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world in order that we might live through him. What is the love of God? Living through his Son. But look at 1 John 5 and look at verse 3. You see a theme? For this is the love of God. What is the love of God, John? That we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Now look at Romans 8 and verse number 38 and 39, and we'll finish right here. In Romans 8, you remember the classic text of verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? We know that we're more than conquerors, verse number 34 and following, verse 37 rather. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Watch this. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall do what? Separate us from the love of God. Which is where? In Christ Jesus, Brother Royce. Which means that I got to be in Christ in order to receive the hope, in order to have the love of God in my heart. Brethren, when I stopped and I considered what church deserves, it deserves people who are willing to firm up their character, to understand that they are the people of God and they're going to live that type of lifestyle. God desires for his people to be a people of hope. So how do we offer each other hope? By just simply doing what God says. How do we offer the world hope? By being the light of the world, the salt of the earth, that city that is set upon a hill. We stop and we consider this, and God wants us to be a people who are strong in our service to him and people who understand that we are loyal to God. Let me have a word of prayer with you, and then I'll offer the invitation. Holy God and Father, hallowed be your name. Pray to Father that you be with us as we approach your throne through your Son, Jesus the Christ. We are eternally grateful for the time you bless us to have. And we pray to Father that we'll never take these opportunities for granted. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the brethren here, the love that they have one for another. And we pray to Father that we'll always grow in our love. And not just for one another, but for your Son. And not just for your Son, but for you. Pray to Father that we'll be a source of hope, not just for the world, but for each other. Father, we love you. We know that you desire the best for us and out of us. Pray to Father that we'll always have the mindset to give the church of our Lord, the church of Christ, exactly what she deserves, and that is holiness. Father, forgive us when we're not. Help us to strive to be a people who are righteous before you, understanding the example that you've given us through Abraham. And we're thankful, dear Father, that he did not waver at your promises. Help us not to waver at the promises that you have given us. Father, help us to understand that you're the one that justifies us. Pray to Father that we'll never have the attitude that I've justified myself. We know, dear Father, that justification comes because you have given commands and given promises that we must keep. But we could not have done that unless you have given us your word. Father, ask that you continue to bless us as we go out into the world, in the midst of our families. Bless those who are bereaving. Be with those who are struggling. Help those, dear Father, to remain faithful. Bless us again according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. Why? Because that's where the hope is. Brethren, If we tell those who are outside of Christ that you have hope outside of Christ, then what Jesus Christ did was for nothing. But Jesus is the one who is our peace. He's the one that has given us hope of eternal life, all because he has made peace between us and God. So if you're not a child of God, if you're not a member of the Lord's church, a Christian, then you need to obey the gospel. You need to consider the good news, the glad tidings of Jesus Christ. And you do that by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, being willing to repent of your sins, confess Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins. And God will do something amazing in your life. He'll forgive you for everything that you've done wrong. He'll add you to his Son's church, the Church of Christ. Live faithful unto death, and God will give you the crown of life. You want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful a few things, I make you rule over many. Enter to the joys of thy Lord." You want to hear those words. Maybe a child of God, and well, your hope is diminishing. Your hope in brethren, your hope in society, your hope in government, your hope in yourself. Truth be told, hopefully your hope is in God, because that's really all you need. Because if that's square, if that's right, then everything else will work itself out. As we stand and as we sing, I will save his invitation.